This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, the Thanksgiving break here in the U.S. is over, and man, they packed a lot of Caps hockey around that holiday. I loved it. It was awesome. Hockey, turkey, turkey, hockey, it just all went together. And just
turkeys playing hockey.
Yeah, that was in the Macy's parade. I saw that. That's true. So it's been a good time. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm feeling good. I'm back from vacation, back from the OC, hon. And I got to tell you, man.
I take back my wondering of how you're doing since you just said that.
The Caps, they got a good fan base in Ocean City. It's pretty cool. I took the Stanley Cup, the replica I have, down to the beach. A lot of people were really interested. A lot of people wanted their picture with Lord Stanley. Santa and my dog Finn got a picture with Lord Stanley the other night. You can see that over on the Twitter page. It was good times down at the beach.
Well, that's good considering it's cold as I don't know what right now. So it's good to know that you had a good time out there.
I got to tell you, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I took Lord Stanley out to watch the Caps game at a place called Harpoon Hannah's.
I like how you talk about the thing like it's a real person. I took him down to the bar.
You know, bought him a drink. It's all good. But there was a family eating dinner there as like I was leaving with the cup. And this kid goes, "Oh, my God, is that the Stanley Cup?" I'm like, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?"
Like, "No, okay, what's wrong with you?"
I'm like, "Hey, man, it's all good. Yeah, it's a Stanley Cup. I bought a replica after the Caps won." And the dad's like, "We're from Detroit, but if the
we're used to it.
The Red Wings can't win. I'm glad the Caps won. I grew up around here." And the kid's like, "Is it heavy?" And I was like, "You know what, man? You want to hold it?" He goes, "Mom, get the camera out." He takes the Stanley Cup from my hands and holds it over his head, and his mom gets a picture. It's a family fun moment. And after that kid did it, a bunch of like older people were like, "Is it heavy?" I'm like, "Do you want to hold it too? All right, you can hold Lord Stanley too."
Well, that was nice of you to make that kid's day, getting to hoist the fake Stanley Cup.
Somebody also, I put a picture of it up on Snapchat. And somebody who I'm friends with wrote to me and wrote, "Replica? Question mark?"
No, I've stolen it. And I'm now putting my crime on Snapchat.
I'm like, no, it's the real Stanley Cup. I got a day with it. That's how high up on the food chain I am for the Caps. But
hey, us over here in podcast world, we got the hookups.
That's right. But anyway, so the Caps, they had a lot of hockey to play since we talked last. You did a solo show last week, but man, the Capitals have been on a roll the last couple games. And
they didn't go solo.
No, no.
I don't really know how that made sense.
Well, I mean, you tried.
I'm tired.
The Caps have, what, 6 wins in a row, all coming without TJ Oshie and Yevgeny Kuznetsov. What's been the secret ingredient here for the Caps?
I didn't even notice that. Until you said it, I was like, oh, yeah. They haven't had them the whole time. You know, it's tough to say. I mean, I think for the most part, they've had some quality goaltending. I think the defense has stepped up. And we talk about no Oshie and no Kuznetsov, but there's also been no Orpik.
That's true.
And while he maybe, you know, look like he's skating through snow most of the time, he is a veteran presence back there, and he helps, you know, the young guys to keep calm. And it hasn't only been, you know, with a guy like who struggled last year in Madison Bowie, but you've had, you know, Sengenthaler. He's been playing as well. So it'll be interesting to see how much longer the streak can go on, but they've been playing incredibly well considering all the injuries that they've had to deal with. I think Kempney missed – did he miss 1 or 2 games during this streak?
Yeah, he
– maybe he came back – and or did he come back against Colorado? Either way, the team's had plenty of injuries. I think, you know, it's been nice that the goaltending's been really good. I know you're going to want to talk about this, but I think the return of Tom Wilson has played a big role with this team.
Segway. So, yeah, let's talk about...
that's where you want to go next.
Yeah, let's talk about Willie Baby coming back. I didn't think it would have this much of an effect on the team, but Tom Wilson coming back and being the top-line guy with Alex Ovechkin, I don't know what's different here. Did Tom change up his game, or is it the fact that he's in the locker room now with the boys and he's on the bench riling them up? I mean, you know, we talked about it when
riling them up. Is he hitting people in the head on the bench as well?
He could be. Cheap shot. But you know, we talked about it when Orpik left for that short amount of time when he was in Denver, and we were saying who would get the A for this team. And I think you said Backstrom would get the A, but I said no.
Doesn't Backstrom always have it?
He's always on there. Yeah, he's an A. Rick Grimes is an A, so we know that. So I mean, it makes sense, but. I said Tom Wilson should be the guy to get the A because he seems to be a team leader. And I don't know. Do you want to – should we argue about whether or not he is? I don't know if we should do a – this is, you know, a devil's advocate thing and say like, oh, no, he's not a leader. He isn't because, I mean, look what happens. He comes back into the lineup and the Caps are doing really well. They have six straight when they were really struggling for a good month and a half.
Well, I think his physicality, it keeps other teams in check a little bit in terms of, you know, running people over. I don't know if it would have played a part necessarily in the game in Winnipeg with Bufflin and, or anybody else. Was he playing in that game? Or any other guys that caused a couple of injuries. But I think Wilson brings a lot to the team defensively in terms of his physicality. And I think he's definitely improved the PK, which looks like it's been better as of late. And so I think having him back, it solidifies. We talked about this, I think, not last week, but or maybe I said it last week or the week before. Having Wilson back, it puts the lines back a little bit more settled into what they were before, and having guys that have played together a lot longer are now playing together again, which I think is ideal. And so when they, you know, you look at a lineup where they had, was it the game in Montreal where Backstrom was out and Kuznetsov was out and Oshie was out? So you had, I believe, or was Backstrom was there, but they still had Eller on the first line. Something along those lines, where it was like Eller was playing a lot of minutes, and he's definitely stepped up his game. I think Eller, you know, I think he deserves a lot of credit, as does Tom Wilson, in terms of the way the Caps have been playing lately and going on this little win streak.
Yeah, it's definitely feeling good for the Caps. It's crazy. I mean, like you said, no Orpik, no Kuznetsov, no TJ Oshie. I honestly am in shock that they're doing this well without those three guys in the lineup, because Oshie and Kuznetsov and Orpik, I mean, they mean so much to the team. So I think some of them, the two of them are concussions, right? And isn't Orpik a knee problem?
Orpik is, he had a hip replacement. And
didn't he have that a couple years ago?
I was just making an old person joke. I can't remember off the top of my head what's wrong with. I think it is his knee. Oshie and Kuznetsov were out. They have their head injuries and the concussions. But I found it interesting that Kuznetsov, he made the trip to New York. And maybe part of that is the fact that they've had the dads and mentors trip. But Oshie didn't travel with the team. And so I'm kind of wondering, is Kuznetsov closer to being back? And let me double check this. But I believe I saw it earlier today on Twitter that Isabel Kershutian of the Washington Post, she was saying that Kuznetsov took line rushes today or during practice. And so it sounds like he's back tomorrow. Ovechkin had a maintenance day. He's dealing with an upper body thing. But it sounds like he's going to play tomorrow. It's just more of a maintenance thing for him. And that it sounds like Kuznetsov may be back as early as tomorrow. Because he was playing, I think he was in the second pairing. Where's the freaking lines that she posted? I can't find it. Oh, no. You know what? It was I don't know if I'm going to say this dude's name right, but Tom Galiti, who covers – he's a regional writer for NHL.com. He covers the Caps a lot. He had the lines as Boyd, Backstrom, and Wilson. So the belief is that Boyd was just filling in for Ovechkin. You know, as much as we may like Travis Boyd, I don't know if he's first line material. Vrana, Kuznetsov, Connolly, Burakovsky, Eller, DSP, Yashkin, however you say his name, Dowd, and Stevenson on the fourth line. So it certainly sounds like Kuznetsov's going to be back. and we're still waiting on TJ Oshie. And Oshie's had a number of concussions, so who knows what's going to happen.
You got to be a little bit cautious. I mean, that was, he got thrown down like a wrestler in the last game he played. So, I mean, it's not really that shocking that he would have a concussion. I don't remember what Kuzi, like, if that was a hit in the game or something else, but Oshie's was pretty bad, I remember. So, and concussions are very hard to diagnose. So we'll see what happens, because we really don't know the severity and how to really know when everything's okay with concussion. So, I mean, they're being cautious, which is good, but yeah, you'd like to see them back on the ice, but Caps are doing all right without them. Kind of shocking, actually, that they're doing that well. We saw Burakovsky doing that well without those two players is what I mean. Burakovsky, he got a couple, didn't he get a couple goals in the last week or so? I mean, he's still not the greatest.
He's terrible.
He's not the greatest stat guy, but seems to be doing a little bit better. Like another one, Tom Wilson comes back and Burakovsky gets a goal or two. And I think Tom even said he just needed his big brother back on the ice for him.
I did see that. Ah, Wilson, he's always good for a quote, apparently. Where is Burakovsky? Still only got 6 points in 24 games. That is nowhere near good enough. But you look over the last five, he's got a goal and an assist. So he's got 2 points in his last five. Not terrible. He was a minus two in that Rangers game, though I'm not the biggest fan of plus minus stats. But he's got, he's averaging I'm not going to do that math quickly in my head, but I'm going to say about 11 minutes of the game, something around there, 11, 12 minutes a game. So not huge numbers necessarily. But if you look at a guy like Jacob Vrana, who we were saying, he's got to step up his game, he's got 5 points in his last five games. So he's starting to wake up and going a little bit of a hot streak. And I kind of like this lineup. I totally just closed it. Who did I say was on the second line again? It was Vrana, Kuznetsov, and Connolly, I want to say. Probably something along those lines. Either way, I do like that as a lineup going forward until Oshie is back, because I think that, you got a good amount of speed. You've got some guys that can play. So I think that would be, I like what the lines are at right now, and I do think a lot of that is Tom Wilson's come back and it sort of settled things in just a bit. And once Oshie comes back, you settle in even more.
Do you break something or do you fix something that's not broken when he does come back? Because, I mean, if the Caps are doing really well right now and they're up, six zip in the last six games, do you bring Oshie in and put him in his old spot and kind of mix up the chemistry that some of these guys have put together?
Yes, he's TJ Oshie. You put him back in the lineup.
All right.
He's TJ Oshie. You bring him back in. Maybe you ease him in by putting him on the third line, but my guess is he goes back to the second line. Connolly drops back to the third. DSP drops back to the fourth, and the lines start to settle in just a bit.
All right. So the Caps got to see Barry Trotz for the first time since they won the Stanley Cup, and Trotz and the rest of his coaching staff were able to get their rings. It's great to see Mitch Korn again. Great to see Barry Trotz again. He came into the locker room. Ovechkin gave him his ring, and he had a nice speech. Even though I don't know if you've seen it or not, if he hit the top of that box one more time as he spoke, I was going to strangle him, because I don't know if it was close to the mic or whatever, but it was just getting picked up so much. It was really annoying me. But like he said, it's going to be really hard to hate any of you guys. They're a family. They went through all of this together. This is, they're bonded for life. It was good to hear Barry again. It was good to hear his voice again. It was good to see him in the locker room with the boys again. I really wish things could have been different between the Capitals organization and Barry Trotz and how it ended. But it was good to see Barry again. And, I mean, the Islanders are doing pretty well. I mean, they lost their big star player over the offseason, but Barry Trotz seems to have come in and kind of lit a spark under him, kind of like what we saw a couple of years ago in Washington.
Yeah, it's, going back to Trotz, it was nice to see him, Lane Lambert, and Mitch Korn get their rings, and I thought he actually had a nice speech. I liked how he made the comment about he thinks the Cap have a chance to do it again, but they're going to have to go through the island.
Yeah.
And it was like, everyone's laughing, ha, 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 and they're like, yeah, right, whatever, Barry. But he's done good things with the Islanders. And so, like you said, it would have been nice if things worked out, but I think the Caps are doing well. They're currently, I don't have the standings up in front of me. I'm always so prepared for our podcast, Brandon. Let me tell you, I am doing great. They are on top of the Metropolitan Division with 31 points. They're 1 point ahead of Columbus, same amount of games played. 3 ahead of the Rangers and 4 in front of Carolina. Brandon, remember the two teams I talked about who I thought were going to be doing well and make the playoffs this season that didn't do well last year? Do you know who they were?
Who were they?
Buffalo, who currently has the most points in the entirety of the NHL.
Wow.
And Vancouver, who was doing quite well. They struggled, I think, a little bit lately. They are 5th in the Pacific, though only 5 points back of first place and 4 points back of second. Sabres, not screwing around, apparently.
I just realized
that I forgot to make a note for around the NHL, so I'm going to have to go back and fix that at some point. But that will be a quick thing. Anyways,
usually you go to Buffalo and you're like, all right, 2 points, that's cool. But they're actually kind of put up a fight this year, which is great to see.
I think they made a great move bringing in Jeff Skinner. I think he was a good player. They got Dahlin. I don't know how to say his name. Either way. He's doing really well. They got a differential of plus 11, which is pretty good considering the past couple of years from them. And they've done well. You know, at home, they're 9-2-1. And they're even on the road, they're 8-4-1. They've won 10 in a row, which has helped probably to put them where they're at right now. But... you know, they're going on a hell of a run right now. It's good to be a Sabres fan at the moment, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely it is. So, good for them. Kind of surprising, but hey, not surprised by you, so that's good.
Hey, yeah, I saw that one coming. Not that good. I thought they would like get in as the ace seed or something, but damn, they're not screwing around.
Yeah. I you probably have this for around the NHL news, but I kind of want to bring it up here. Carl Alzner got waived by the Montreal Canadiens, and he's a former Capital. He was a big part of this team. It was Carlsner. That was a big pairing for the defense. He was the Iron Man. He played, 662 games without a break, regular season-wise at least. But he got waived by the Montreal Canadiens, and I believe he moved down. I think it might be lower than his AHL team that he's playing with right now.
No, he's playing in AHL with Laval.
So they're the Montreal AHL team?
Yeah, and he scored in his first game in the AHL.
Huh.
So you're right. I did have that in my around the NHL notes. But also, he scored in his first game, but word is that the Canadians are actually working on getting him moved in a trade.
Well, it's very interesting because he was such a big part of this team. He got a monster contract when he went to Montreal. I think it was like 5 years, couple $1 million each year. Good for him, but I guess you're expected to do certain things when you make that amount of money. And he said it was really hard in Montreal because he didn't matter how he played this year. If he would play 2 games, then he would have 2 games off. Then he would play 2 games, have 2 games off. Didn't matter if he did well or not. That just is what they had set up, and he seemed a little frustrated with that. But, I mean, what did you think? I know we are not a Montreal podcast, but Carl Alzner left. He kind of left under some, I don't know the right word to say, he had some nasty things, I guess, to say about the Capitals.
I think people blew that out of proportion. He's just saying he wanted to go somewhere. I think he was trying to say that he wanted to go somewhere else that he had a chance to win. I think early a shot at the Caps. They weren't going to bring him back for the money he wanted, and he wanted to go somewhere else. And it wasn't like he just went somewhere for the money, somewhere that he thought he was going to have a chance to win. But, of course, I mean, it did. You know, the way it came out and the way he said it did kind of make him sound like a jerk, but I don't think that was his intention. And I think he even came out and was like, I didn't mean it that way. I just meant like I wanted to try somewhere new.
And there was another saying where he was wasn't it something like he said something like sometimes you didn't have the motivation to play during certain days or something like that. And I think Alan May wasn't really happy with that.
Did he say that?
He said something like, there's some days where you just don't feel like you're going to win, or there wasn't any importance to win, or something along those lines. And Alan May is like, that's not the way you should be thinking. You shouldn't be in that locker room if that's what you're thinking. And, I mean, for his career to now go to that AHL level, it's kind of interesting that he would say those type of things and kind of look where he's at now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And there's been a lot of talk as to whether the reason that he's had his struggles and why he's in the AHL now is because the injury that he suffered in his final year with the Capitals that has just sort of derailed his career more. So kind of like look at a guy like Brooks Like who had that, was it a groin injury?
Yeah.
And he was never the same since. And it's kind of like Alzner with his, I can't remember specific injury that he had, but after that injury, he hasn't been the same.
That's true. Do you see, potentially see the Capitals bringing him back in any kind of...
Not for that money he's making.
Well, yeah, if he moved down to the AHL level, is he still making that big money?
Probably.
Yeah, that's crazy if you can just kind of bury like $5 million in the AHL.
Well, no one took him on. Hang on, I got to find his Canadian... I think... Ooh, where's his name? He's got a cap, it looks like. That's got to be right. 4.625. If he was a lot lower, he's only 30. You know, he could be a guy. Now, his contract goes through the 2021-22 season, so it's not like it's going to happen anytime soon. But if you could bring him back at a cap hit of like $1 or $2 million, he could be the guy. See, the thing is, you could say he'd be the guy that replaces Orpik as that veteran guy on your team. But they really need to start making room for the young guys like Bowie to be playing every night, and Singen Thaler, and then Lucas Johansson eventually, and Tyler Lewington potentially at some point. And so you have these, you know, Connor Hopps. You have these young guys that could be coming up soon. Oh, Alex Alexiev. So you have these young guys, these defensemen that are going to want to come up and play in the next few seasons. You can't keep bringing in veterans. Your guys that you have, like a Carlson, like Niskanen, they are those veterans now. You can't always be relying on a guy like Brooks. So I think between Kempney and Niskanen and Orlov and Carlson, you have your veterans. And now you need to surround them with young guys making their way up.
All right. That makes sense. I hear you. Anything else we should cover in Caps world?
We talked a little bit about the dads and mentors trip. I always thought that was kind of fun. Do they do like a mom's trip at some point?
I don't think they do.
They should do that. That's like,
it's a little early for the dad trip too, isn't it?
Usually, right? Like when I saw they were at Madison Square Garden, I was like, don't they usually do that later in the winter?
Usually like, and it's usually out to like, you know, the West Coast, a little warmer temperatures out in LA and stuff, but.
Or down to Florida. I think, you know, if you go through the Tampa, I feel like a Tampa, Florida, because they're after the whole state, not Miami or something. Going through Tampa, Miami, or no, they're in
Sunrise.
Fort Lauderdale? Yeah, Sunrise. Going and then over like to Dallas, play the Stars or something, always makes sense. It's kind of a trip. I don't know how long that flight would be. How long do you think that flight would be from like Miami, Fort Lauderdale to Dallas?
Hour?
A couple hours?
Hour and a half? Maybe two?
No, it's got to be more than that, right?
It's not that far away.
Anyways,
I failed geography. I don't know.
Anyways, the point is, yeah, it does seem a little early. And how come they don't do like a mom's trip? Or do they? And we just don't remember it because we're dumb.
They should do a mom's trip. My mom's awesome, and my dad's a. So, I mean, that's who I'd want to go with me.
So that would yeah. I don't know. That's interesting. I never really thought about it until now. And I was like, you know, do they do a mom's trip? I kind of feel like I've heard about it before, but maybe that was something else. But either way, this is like a parent's trip.
Well, they do. It's like dads and mentors.
No. Both mom and dad and mentors come too.
Yeah, but I'm sure some guys are bring their moms as the mentor. I mean, I'm guessing it's open to both.
Yeah, I suppose. I they had a couple shots from during the game. I didn't notice any women, but I don't know. But a mom's trip out there would be like a nice thing. Another thing Caps are doing on the game on December 2nd, they're gonna have a toy drive. And I believe if you bring in a toy, you'll get a Lars Eller poster.
Oh, there you go.
Cool. Yeah. Nice. So if you're going to the game December 2nd, they're playing. I don't know who they're playing. Hang on. If you go and check it out, get a cool poster, bring a toy.
December 2nd, they're up against Anaheim. The Ducks.
It's Sunday, 3 o'clock. See them play Ducks. I believe it has to be an unwrapped toy, if I remember correctly. So that'll be kind of cool.
I got to work that day, and that's during the Ravens game. Thanks for the poor planning there, Caps.
I believe the Ravens should have rearranged their schedule. Which team won the Stanley Cup, Brandon?
That's true. I agree.
Okay, I don't see the Ravens winning the Cup anytime soon.
We got our own soap opera going on with the Ravens right now of who's
not
the starting
QB. They can't
QB.
Win the Cup because they're a football team.
Well, I mean,
I was trying to make a dumb joke, and then I missed.
Seems to be the
oh,
theme
for Salvation
tonight.
Army, even. Yeah, well, we're tired. It's been off for a week. Yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know, right now there's not as much. We talked about this before, where like when they're doing well, there's less to talk about.
It's true.
It's kind of like when I used to write for Capitals Outsider, when I, if you go back and read any of the articles I wrote, it was more, I wrote about stuff when I had things to complain about. Like if someone was struggling or something wasn't going well, it was more likely that I was going to say something. Then they started doing well. And I was like, I got nothing to say. They're doing good. Like, you know,
don't change a thing.
So, I mean, that's not entirely true that they're not, you know, not everything is great. They still take, I feel like, too many penalties. If you're Ryan Drury, you're probably feeling like they're getting screwed over a bunch on some of those penalties. And then, you know, I think that their face-offs need to get better. The face-off percentage, definitely. I think that this team needs to look into potentially acquiring a center for a fourth-line center that can replace Jay Beagle. I doubt it. Looks like his face-off numbers are going up. It's at 49.66. Travis Boyd, although I don't see how many face-offs they have taken. But Boyd is at 49.33, which is not terrible. Kuznetsov at 42.7, he's got to step up his centering game. That's, I mean, considering he is a freaking center.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a problem. But Chandler Stevens is actually leading the team at 61.76 in his face-off percentage. But I don't know how many he's taken. But like, and Stevenson, correct me if I'm wrong, he was a center in the minors. So I wonder if maybe he's the future guy to take Beagle's spot, even though he plays on the wing. But if you need someone to win a face-off in the defensive zone at the end of the game, then you're up by one. And you're potentially on the penalty kill, you know, do you throw Chandler Stephenson out there to win that faceoff? But I think if they continue to struggle in the faceoff department in big moments, that they may look to go out and acquire someone like a Jay Beagle with a significantly less cap hit to play on that fourth line.
Yeah, that's, I mean, Jay Beagle was a huge, huge loss for this team. I mean, it's hard to compare another player about how much Jay Beagle is missed by this team. I mean, I don't know who else, if they were to leave for trading or for, you know, a contract or whatever.
Backstrom.
All right, so you got those two.
Carlson.
Yeah, I kind of would say Beagle's more important than Carlson.
Seriously?
I would, yeah.
Carlson's like the best defense. Not like he is the best defenseman on this team. That would be my yeah. I would say over Niskanen. Carlson, he's a veteran presence. He's been here for, he's got a stupidly high cap hit. Who's got the, damn, Arizona's got the best penalty kill? When does that happen? I'm trying to see where the caps are in terms of their PK stats right now. Because I believe I clicked the wrong thing. No, I think Beagle was a huge part of this team, but it was still the right move to let him go. It's just unfortunate how it's kind of bit them a little bit in terms of their penalty kill and their faceoff sets. I mean, right now they're 22nd in the league in PK at 77%.
And that has great to be because Beagle's not on that PK.
I feel like that's definitely a big part of it. Why is this not working? There we go. They're 11th in the league in faceoff percentage. That's not bad. Faceoff wins, I'd like to point out.
Be better if Beagle's there.
The faceoff, yeah, probably. I'd say I look up Vancouver. Vancouver is actually 5th in the league, but I believe he's still out injured.
Yeah, he's got a wrist issue.
Yeah, so but their PK needs to be better. Now you go and you look at Vancouver; they're 23rd. So they're actually behind the Caps. So although Beagle's again out of injury, so it doesn't really matter. But they definitely need to work on their penalty kill and their faceoff percentage to get those numbers up, because it's much easier to kill a penalty when you win the faceoff in your zone and then are able to dump the puck.
It's true. It's true.
It's hard to stop them from scoring when they're shooting at your goal.
Unless you have
Braden, just point that out, guys.
Unless you have Braden Holtby, he'll dig you out of a lot of holes.
Yeah, but even then, stop letting him shoot at him.
That's true. All right, well, I guess that's it for Caps World. Not a lot to talk about, not a lot to complain about.
Nice 6-game winning streak, still plenty of chances to get more wins. Got a couple tough games coming up.
Yeah, they next week, I mean, we'll talk about it at the end of the show, but next week they get to return to the scene of the crime. They get to come back to Vegas.
So overdramatic.
Return to Game 5.
The scene of the crime.
And they get to go against Vegas.
You're going to have a crazy intro again?
No, not as dramatic.
The return of the Washington Capitals.
This will be the first time they see Nate Schmidt since the Stanley Cup Finals. Because he's been out on...
I was going to say on the ice. I feel like the guys have probably all hung out before. Or since.
Well, no, he's been over in Europe playing.
No, like over the summer.
Well, yeah.
You think they all hung out at some point? Schmidt and some...
I don't think so.
Dude, what if they won the cup and Schmidt was on the team?
That would have been crazy.
Someone would have died.
You know how Ovi was in the fountain with the cup? Schmidt would have been in the fountain, but he would have been streaking.
I feel like he would have been drinking the water from the fountain.
Yeah. You know, man, what would have been really smart? Fan out there, if they're partying with the Caps, they're partying in the fountain, you bottled up that water and sold it on eBay. You know somebody would buy that.
Still probably be cheaper than those freaking bobbleheads they had from time to time.
The awesome bobbleheads for the Stanley Cup, but yes, I agree. Those things are like $80.
Which ones?
The one that's TJ Oshie on the Metro, DSP with the belt.
Yeah, those are really expensive. My wife got me one of Ovechkin with the cup. He's not holding it up. He's holding it like just kind of holding onto it at like his chest height.
Yeah.
Which is not bad. Don't get me wrong.
You're bad-mouthing your wife's gift?
No, man. I'm saying don't do that. Don't get me in trouble. Don't get me in trouble, man.
I'm telling.
I'm saying like it would have been cool if the company that made it was like he was holding it up. Oh, would have been cool instead of the head bobbling. It was like the Joel Reklich one that I have, the bobble fist. If it was like the fist and the cup would shake.
Oh, that would be cool. I dig that.
That would be fun. All right, let's move on.
All right, so that's pretty much it for what's going on in Caps World. We are going to go down on the farm and talk Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what is going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 1-2 with a win over Wilkes-Barre Scranton. The Bears find themselves in last place in the Atlantic Division with 19. Yeah, I know, right? Not going well. With 19 points and a record of 9-11-1. 14 points off of first place Charlotte. And the Bears have definitely got some work to do, and just looking at the stats, they don't score a ton of goals. They're last in the Atlantic and second to last in the league in goals scored with. I believe they had 54, 51, something like that. So they need to start scoring more goals. And Brandon, I don't know if it's necessarily the case, but I'm kind of attributing this as an issue with the Capitals because they don't have a lot of young, up-and-coming goal-scoring forwards that are playing in Hershey.
Blaming the Caps for that?
I do. I think that they should have more. I mean, they've drafted a lot of defensemen lately, and I think that has affected the roster.
I hear you. Yeah, I mean, they're the ones building the teams.
So that's, you know, who's the young guy that you can think of, a forward, that the Caps are excited to bring up in the next couple of years?
Riley?
Ryan Drury is somewhere yelling somebody's name.
What's his name? Riley Barber?
I don't know if he's ever going to make the roster, man.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I don't think there's anybody that they have that you're like screaming is going to be a goal-scoring forward.
I was going to say Axel, and then he skipped town.
But even then, he wasn't necessarily a goal scorer. They're thinking more third line.
Really? Third liner? What about...
more like a grinder kind of guy.
What about Shane Gersick?
I don't know if he's going to be the guy.
He's already gotten his name on the Stanley Cup, and he's not even a real player yet.
He's not pretend. Like, he's out there going through the motions. But yeah, no, I definitely think that part of their problem is that the Capitals have not brought in, they haven't drafted a lot of young, potential top-quality goal scorers that are making their way through the minors. But either way, they'll be back at it with back-to-back home games at the Giants Center starting on Saturday at Springfield. I'm sorry. Saturday against Springfield, and then Sunday's game is against Binghamton, which, Brandon, is your favorite thing they ever do. It's Teddy Bear Toss Night.
Yeah, Teddy Bear Toss Night.
I know you're going to go up there on Sunday, aren't you?
I gotta work, but otherwise I would. I have never been to a teddy bear toss, and I so want to go. They look like such a blast.
I'd be worried that like someone would throw a really heavy bear and it would like smack me in the back of the head.
What kind of bears did you grow up with?
Like normal ones, but like you see some of these bears, you know, they got ones that have, you know, they like move around and stuff, or they have like can talk. It's like a little remote in the butt or somewhere. And like that would hurt if it itched in the head.
I saw somebody bought one of those giant Costco bears, those life-size bears, and they're like, see you Sunday, Hershey. And somebody brought one of those a couple years ago, and it body surfed around the rink before it actually hit the ice. Yeah.
That would be cool.
One of these years, I swear, I'm going to go to a teddy bear toss. One of these years, it's going to happen.
You're going to come with a bag of bears and be like, rah! Chucking them out there.
That's the thing, though. You got to sit low for that game. You can't cheap out and do second level. You got to get at the bottom, so you got to just be pelted with bears. Be like that. Remember that Inside Edition, that stupid Inside Edition story? And they're like, and it's raining bears! And it's a bear falling from a tree.
Yeah, vaguely.
I bet you that's what it's like. Raining bears.
Yeah, cool. Hopefully you're just aware of what's going on before you suddenly start getting pelted with small furry objects.
Yeah, just imagine if you didn't know it was teddy bear toss night and you just were going to a game.
What is this magic place?
Why is everyone throwing things?
This is amazing. You have like kid, you like snatch them out of the air, put them in your jacket, hope nobody notices.
What? I got kids too. I gotta give them presents.
Yeah, it saves me some money. All right, let's make our way down to South Carolina before we both lose our minds. Let's make our way down to South Carolina, where the Stingrays went 2-1 with wins over Orlando and Atlanta. They find themselves fourth in the South Division with 20 points and a record of 10-9, 6 points off first place Jacksonville. Now, they'll be back out of 3 games before we talk again, starting on Friday and Saturday in Florida. Then a game on Tuesday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Greenville. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right. Well, hopefully the Bears can get out of the bottom of the Atlantic. That'd be nice. And hopefully South Carolina can actually get a Capitals player on their team. But anyway, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. Everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff going on, like Carl Alsner no longer being a part of the Montreal Canadiens. We already talked about that. So, Coach Dan, fill us in. What's going on around the NHL?
I had to go and edit my notes because you stole my last bit. So I had to fix them. But let's start in Vancouver, where forward Antoine Roussel was fined $5,000 for biting San Jose defenseman Marc-Edouard Vlasic. Roussel, what is wrong with you? Like, biting people? Like, really? You freaking weirdo? Bites people. So that was the maximum penalty he could get for being a cannibal or something. Freaking wrong with that guy. Let's move over to Philly, where they fired general manager Ron Hextall, assistant general manager Chris Pryor, and assistant coach Gord Murphy. No word at this point on who the next general manager will be, which of course means that they'll announce something tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the Capitals, who always announce something new the day after we record. A couple quick trades to announce as Arizona sent forwards Dylan Strom and Brendan Perlini to Chicago for Nick Schmaltz, while Toronto sent defenseman Andrew Nielsen to Calgary for forward Morgan Klimchuk. He's got a funny-sounding last name. And finally, I have to feel kind of bad for goalie Calvin Pickard as he was claimed off waivers by Arizona. That's not why I feel bad. Because they actually have the top PK in the league right now. Mm-hmm. And I imagine Arizona's pretty warm. It's a nice place to live. Anyways, I feel bad because this is the second time that Pickard's been placed on waivers and then claimed this season. As he started the year with Toronto before being waived and claimed by Philly. And then Philly put him on waivers and he got claimed by Arizona. Pickard was drafted by Colorado in 2017. Then was selected by Vegas in the expansion draft. Who then traded him to Toronto.
He's seen some sights.
That guy has, let's see, he's been caught. I don't know if he actually played for any of these teams, but Colorado, Vegas, Toronto, Philly, and now Arizona. He's been all over the country and Canada. Well, one place in Canada, but still. Like, Toronto and Arizona, it's pretty far apart. That's all I'm trying to say. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter. What is my Twitter handle again, Brandon? I totally just blanked on it.
WTP Coach Dan.
Yeah, that's me. You can find me there talking all kinds of – I'm wearing that on purpose from now on. That was funny. You can find, I didn't do it on purpose. I totally just brain farted. You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capital stuff. Arsenal Football Club, who won again today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they played some random team in the Ukraine. You can also find me talking about the Redskins and how they're just every freaking time you think they're doing something right, they take a giant freaking leap backward and do something else incredibly dumb that just make them look like a bunch of asshats. So that's fun. Go Bills. That's all I'm saying right now. Yeah, somehow that's finding me on Twitter at WTP to Coach Dan. You can agree with me about how the Redskins are a bunch of idiots. And when I say this, I'm talking about the organization, not the players. I feel bad that the players have to play for a bunch of idiots and Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen. Screw Bruce Allen. That guy's a douche. But yeah, if you've enjoyed our ranting and all the different things that we've been talking about tonight, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthefuckpod. When you find out, one place to find out when we got new shows coming out and other random things that Brandon finds that he thinks are funny, and we'll post them on. He's nodding, folks, so you know that. It's true. Yeah. He does do that. So go ahead and check us out at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if people enjoy your silly photos, can you tell us where else they might be able to find them?
And go to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts we do here at Brando Cash Entertainment. Now, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Like us over there. Plenty of stuff happening. I try to embarrass Coach Dan as much as humanly possible on that
one. I would say daily.
Daily, yeah, yeah. I try my best, so definitely go like us over there if you enjoy that. We do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So until we talk again, there's a couple games we got to tell you about. On Friday, November 30th, the Caps are up against the Devils in D.C. You can watch that game on NBC Sports Washington Plus here, as well as the NHL Network in the U.S. That game starts at 7 o'clock. And then the Capitals, they kick off the holiday season on December 2nd up against Anaheim. That game is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that is in D.C. That is on NBC Sports Washington. Also says Prime under networks. Amazon doesn't show NHL games, right? Is Prime something else?
Hulu does NHL games.
Yeah, this says Prime. I don't. Okay.
Oh, I'm looking into that. Keep going.
And then on Tuesday, December 4th, the Capitals come back to the scene of where they raised the cup. Las Vegas up against the Vegas Golden Knights. That game is at 10 o'clock on the East Coast, and you can watch that game on NBC Sports Washington. So that it will be it until we talk again. So hopefully we get Uzi and Uzi. What? Hopefully we get Koozie.
No, we don't need weapons, Brandon. Calm down.
That's true.
Hopefully we got Tom Wilson.
Hopefully we get Koozie and Oshi back on the ice before we talk again. It's always good to have those boys back in the lineup, so hopefully we'll see them soon. But until then, everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.